Out from the world we are called, into the house of God we come to worship a God who is worthy of worship, worthy to be exalted. Would you stand if you are able and join in our call to worship? He is exalted. God is good, and all the time. As we gather today, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And if you're a visitor with us, we especially want to welcome you and encourage you. If you'd like to know more about our church, or for us to get to know you a bit better, you can fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. You'll find those on the back of the pew in front of you, right next to our prayer cards. If you have any prayer concerns or needs, you can fill that card out as well and place that either in the offering plate or in the prayer box outside these doors right here. Today, I want to just remind you, we do have a church council meeting today. If you are one of those who that affects, please make sure you come back. This will be an extremely important church council meeting as we just voted on new bylaws that include a vision and leadership team. So that team will need to be formed very quickly. This is our last month in this church year, and so there's a lot to be done. So I encourage you to come and be a part of that and participate in that. The deacons will also be meeting very soon to make plans to move that forward. And this will be, I think, a year that in many ways will probably be difficult, a transition year as we learn how to operate within these new guidelines. So continue to keep your congregation in prayer. Pray for those who lead and guide us as a church, and pray for the future of our congregation as we learn how to operate in this new way. We want to keep that in our hearts and minds. Today, as we worship, I wanted to start off, we're talking about bread quite a bit today, and I wanted to share with you just a thought on bread as we begin worship. Soon we'll hear about the manna in the wilderness. Later we'll hear about Jesus saying that he is the bread of life. Bread is such a vital part of the ancient world. Bread was something that you could live and die by, but that hasn't really changed a whole lot. How many of you like biscuits? I mean, I can't have very many meals without a roll or a biscuit or something. When I was in Germany, we went to the torture museum, believe it or not, in Rotenburg ob der Tauber. And in the torture museum, all these ancient medieval torture devices, they would explain, here's the torture device for this crime, here's the torture device for that crime. And the one that was the sickest was for the baker who baked bad bread.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. So as we think about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. That's some good bread. We have some good bread that feeds us and sustains us. Let that thought of the goodness of Christ guide you as you continue to worship today.
Our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father God, your servants have gathered in this place today to worship and celebrate who you are and what you have done, your generosity, your wonder, your amazement that grabs our attention every single day. May it capture us this day as we gather in this place to worship and celebrate you. Father, we know that as we enter this place today, we carry many things with us. Worries from the week past, stresses about the weeks ahead. And Father, we know in the midst of all this that you are with us and that you allow us to check it at the door so we can be filled by your Spirit this day. Father, may we feel you move through us and move in this congregation this day as we worship and celebrate who you are. We lift this prayer in your Son's name who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and sing our hymn of praise, In Christ Alone.
Thank you.
be seated.
Good morning, guys. It never fails. Now, I was up in y'all's Sunday school class just a little while ago, and y'all had a lot more energy up there than you did right here. Did you know that? Yeah, yeah. Is Miss Amy more fun than Pastor David? Is that what it is? No. Okay. Well, let's. At least we're honest. There you go, Amy. Sorry, didn't mean to call you out on that one. But anyway, I need you to go into fantasy land with me today. Can y'all do that? Enter in that world of your imagination, and what I need you to think about is how you would feel, think about it real hard now, how you would feel if you did not get to eat for 2 entire days. All right, think about it. Get in your head. 2 days, no food. 2 days, got it? You know how you would feel? Now I want you to act like it. You hadn't eaten not eaten in 2 days. What would you be doing right now? Ready, set, go. A little better. Sleeping, holding your stomach. Would your stomach be growling at you? Tell you feed me. Right? You would go eat. Well, you couldn't if you didn't have any food. Danny's about to pass out over here. What? You barely eat anything. 2 days, I think you'd have a problem. But just now, I want you to get that in your mind. And luckily, what I did is, knowing that you were going to be starving for 2 days and haven't eaten, I have brought my trusty mission trip book bag. This book bag has gone on so many trips with me, and it has wonderful loads of things. You never know what you might find in it, and it always has the answers. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull out one thing at a time. And if it is something that will help you with that 2 day worth hunger, I want you to scream yes, okay? If it doesn't, just nod your head no, okay? Scream yes, nod your head no. Can you do that? All right, ready? Yes, Mark. No, it's perfectly. I knew somebody would make a comment. Told you, Mason, somebody made a comment about my Duke
back. It's got a beautiful logo, right?
All right. First thing, if it will help you with your hunger, what do you do? Scream yes. If it won't, nod your head, shake your head no. Ready? A hammer. Yep, I put that to use this past week. Bubbles. A ball. Sunglasses. Nope. A paint roller. My trusty rope. The youth all know about this rope, guys, don't you? Yeah. A camera. There's actually a picture on it. Here, y'all get close together. I'm going to take a picture of y'all this morning. 2 days worth of hunger. Show me.
I got to have it. I'm going to put it on Facebook. Side closer. Not closer. 2 days worth of hunger.
Got it. Perfect. All right. That won't work either. Pair of scissors. No.
What else we got in here?
Oh. Ah. Trusty mission trip t-shirt.
Maybe. You would go after 2 days, you might chew on that?
Yeah, I might too either. What about a loaf of bread? That's more like it. Yes. Stuff is all wonderful and it all has its place and time. But when we are starving, physically starving, food is our answer, right? A loaf of bread would be our answer. You're going to hear Pastor Mason talk about bread in a little bit more, and I'm going to kind of give you a little preliminary thought about it. You know, when we're physically hungry, this is our answer. But there is a time in the Bible, that talks about when we hunger for something so much deeper. And it's actually hunger for life. You ever thought about that? How are you hungry for life? Scripture tells us that we are searching, that we are desiring something that's so much more deep and so much more fulfilling.
And that's a life that is in the presence of God. And Scripture tells us that this bread doesn't answer that need. What answers that spiritual hunger is the bread of life. And that's what Jesus said he was. We're going to read it in the Gospel of John in just a little bit. You're going to hear more scripture passages about God providing bread for us. But I want you to remember something. When you get hungry, we put food in our stomachs. But when we are hungry for God, we have to turn to God's Word. We have to turn to the stories we know about Jesus. We have to be reminded about that cross and what he did on the cross for us. That's what feeds us. So when you're hungry, get a piece of bread. But when you're hungry for life, spiritual life, we turn to Jesus. Okay? Let's stand up and have a word of prayer. And make sure you listen a little bit later when Pastor Mason talks about this bread a little bit more. Okay? Let's stand up. Let's hold hands. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for these young men. I'm thankful for their willingness to come up front and to talk and share and learn. And Father, this morning, I'm thankful that they're not physically hungry, that they don't have to worry about not eating for 2 days. But Father, we know that each one of us, especially these young men, are hungry for you. May they learn through their Sunday school time, through our worship, through reading Scripture, through serving and honoring you in so many different ways. May they realize what true hunger can be satisfied with, and that is through your Son, Jesus the Christ, the bread of life. I give thanks for that. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and sing our offertory hymn, As the Deer. Comes from the scripture from Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you. Please stand.
Pray. Father, we thank you today for your blessings that you bestowed upon us. Father, I pray for our congregation today. Lord, may we all give with gladness and sincerity today. Bless these tithes and offerings and continue to worship. Amen.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burden. Lay down your shame. I who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are.
There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, a rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure.
Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are, fall in his arms, come as you are.
There's joy for the morning, oh sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are.
Thank you.
Would you join me in prayer? Oh God, we at the start of this service heard a word that calls us to confession. It acknowledges that we are a people who are fallen. And Lord, we confess that often the greatest sin we commit is just the sin of apathy, of not seeming to really care or taking so many things for granted. Yet, Lord, we are reminded as we gather safely in this place that there are others who are not in safety. We are reminded that there are corners of this world where people live in danger and in fear. We are reminded that there are young men and women serving, fighting, constantly in danger, in places of war and conflict. We are reminded that there is still deep racism in our country, and many live in fear of that. We are reminded that there are those who are hungry. And while we throw food away, they would love to have it. We are reminded, God, most of all, that as much as we enjoy you and celebrate salvation, there is a world that is lost. There are countless lives that are lost. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for our thoughtlessness. But more so, Lord, we pray that you would lead us into righteousness. Lead us to be your people who work to make things right in the world. Your word says you've entrusted us with the ministry of reconciliation. That is, to make things right where they are wrong. Give us the courage and boldness to be your hands, your feet, your voice in this world. And Lord, we do lift up all of the concerns and the troubles of this congregation. Week after week, we have a list, God. You know that list better than we do. Names of people who are sick, grieving, hurting, and alone. We pray for your lordship over every one of those situations. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. We are told this story of the Israelites. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them whether they will follow my instruction or not." And in verse 9 the story continues. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you
to eat. Thank God for God's word. Amen.
Thank you.
God's people said, amen. You know, I think differently, David, because I looked at that bag and I started thinking, you know, I could use those bubbles to lure an animal maybe, or I could use a rope to make a snare. I could distract something with the ball and then smash it with the hammer. You know, there's a lot of things you could do to get some food out of that bag. You know, thank you. I could use that later on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of your word breathing life into us. We ask now, Lord, that whatever you have to say to us this morning, let us not miss it. In Christ's name, amen. There's an interesting story that I read about many years ago about a guy in the UK named Clive Waring. That's a great name, by the way. And Clive Waring had suffered some sort of a traumatic brain injury, and it had jarred his brain in such a way that Clive lost his ability to maintain short-term memory. And it was said by the doctors that for at the most, Clive could only remember about 30 seconds of any given conversation, sometimes as little as 7 seconds. Now, he could remember how to play the piano. He could remember some history facts. He could remember about his boyhood. But in the immediacy of the moment, only about 30 seconds. That's about all it could maintain. So that meant by the time you started a sentence with Clive, if the sentence went too long, he'd already forgotten the beginning of the sentence by the time you got to the end of it. I'll give you an example. They showed this display on a BBC documentary many years ago about Clive. They show this conversation between Clive and his wife. And it went something like this. Wife, Clive, honey, I'm going to New Zealand. Your sister, she's getting married. Oh, that's lovely. Where are you going? Wife, to New Zealand. Clive, why? Wife, because I'm going to the wedding. Clive, oh, who's getting married? And it went on and on like that for several moments, where Clive just could not remember what was happening in the moment. He couldn't see it. I tell you, the one part that on the one hand is kind of beautiful and a little bit romantic, but deeply sad when you think about the long-term implications. When Clive's wife walked into the room, for Clive, it was as if he had not seen her for years and years, and this was the first time he was seeing her in a long time. And he jumps up out of his seat and he goes, oh, where have you been, my darling? And he hugs her and kisses her and he's very romantic with her. A few minutes later, she has to leave the room and she comes back in and he jumps up and goes, oh, my darling, where have you been, my darling? He can't remember that she's been there all along. In fact, his short-term memory was so pitiful that when at one point a loud noise occurs in the background, he turns his head away from his wife, and when he looks back, he goes, oh, my darling, when did you get here? As long as he's looking at her, he could maintain that she's there, she's real, she's with me. But the minute he turned his eyes and his attention away from her, it was as if she'd been gone for a long, long time. Could you imagine living your life like that? What would that be like? How frustrating, depressing, angry you would be. And on the one hand, you might assume, well, maybe Clive just doesn't even know it. Maybe you would be completely unaware of it. But the really heartbreaking thing is Clive Waring knew there was something wrong. That he knew there was something he wasn't getting, something he wasn't remembering. He knew that something was broken in his mind, and it angered him. But then he would forget he was angry. I wonder if what Clive suffered from is not something unlike what Jesus' followers seem to be suffering from in our scripture today. In John 6, I want you to pay attention to this story and see if it occurs to you the glaring elephant in the room of this story. Jesus has just fed the multitude, often called the feeding of the 5,000 or 4,000. But we know that in the time of Christ, they're only counting the men, the adult men. Dudes, you only counted. So women and children weren't even being counted in this account. So it is a multitude of people that Jesus has just provided bread for. He's given them this miraculous meal that is not possible apart from the power of his divinity. And so then this is what happens very next thing in verse 24. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, are you looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves? Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Okay, class, let me ask you, what is the glaring, ridiculous reality of this story? Somebody just shouted out, "He's just fed the multitudes free bread," and then what happens?
They ask what works he's doing.
Yeah, they say, what are you going to do to prove yourself, Jesus? And then they take it a little further when they say, "You know, Moses gave us bread. What are you going to give us? What are you going to show us? What miracle are you going to perform? Moses gave us free bread in the wilderness. What are you going to do, Jesus?" And you got to think Jesus goes like this. "Did you see the bread? Did you not get it?" In fact, very intentionally, Jesus is reenacting something of the Exodus. He has that very moment in mind when he works the wonder with the bread, just paragraphs ago. He is trying to help them see that just as God promised bread to the Israelites, he is the true bread. And so Jesus does what only Jesus can do. He schools them a little bit, doesn't he? Little kind-hearted schooling, never hurt anybody. And Jesus says a few things. He wants to make sure they understand this. He says, first of all, Moses didn't give anybody anything in the wilderness, did he? Moses was God's servant and Aaron his mouthpiece. Moses didn't do the miracle of the manna. God wants to make it clear through Jesus that God gave the bread. He's the bread maker. He's the bread maker who sent the manna down from heaven. But secondly, Jesus wants us to understand that those ancestors, they ate that bread, and what happened to them? Eventually they died, just like every other person dies. But Jesus is saying, "I'm going to give them bread that when they eat it, they're no longer hungry." And here we have this classic misunderstanding where Jesus' followers are thinking literal, physical needs, and Jesus is talking about something spiritual and eternal. He says that if you eat the bread that God is sending down from heaven, you will live forever, you'll never be hungry again. He's talking about salvation, isn't he? Life everlasting. And they say, "Sir, give us this bread always." They're just still hungry. And then Jesus makes one final clarification. He says, I am the bread. That statement, I am, it is hauntingly familiar to us. And many of you maybe already know this already. But when Jesus says, I am, he's making a reference here to when Moses goes up onto the mountain to see this burning bush taking place. He turns aside and he asked from the bush, Moses says, tell me your name. And what does God say from the bush his name is? I am. Now we're comparing some Hebrew to some Greek for those scholars out there. But here's a little thing that helps us out. When Jesus says I am, the Greek he uses is ego eimi. Not let go of my ego, but ego eimi. It's the same Greek phrase that in the Greek version of the Old Testament is used at the burning bush. In the Old Testament Hebrew, it's Yahweh, but in the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, it's ego eimi. And that's the version, by the way, Jesus' listeners were familiar with. Not the Hebrew, but the Greek. So when Jesus starts saying things like, I am, it's a God statement. It's an amazing thing. He's saying, Yahweh, the bread of life, right here. I am being. I am who I am. I am He. I am that bread. You know, there is so much going on in this encounter Jesus has with His followers that challenges us. First of all, it's frustrating for Jesus to realize that his followers can't even appreciate what they do have, what they are receiving, because they're so focused on getting more, on getting the new thing, the next thing. Before I moved to Germany, we had this little dog, Luna. And Luna was an American Eskimo, an Esky that was just beautiful, white fur, fluffy, big stupid grin on his face all the time, her face. But Luna was about as smart as a bag of hammers. And very, very greedy. I mean, like, all dogs are greedy. But this dog was really greedy. And the dog was so obsessed with food that if you were to hold a treat for this dog, Luna, and drop it, she would snap it up and eat it so fast and then start looking around for it. And then look at you as if to say, where's my treat? Think about that. That the dog ate it and consumed what the master was giving so rapidly and so voraciously that it didn't even realize the master had given it a treat in the first place and was demanding more. Where is it? Give me what I am owed. That's what these followers of Jesus are doing, isn't it? They're consuming what Jesus gives them so rapidly they don't even realize or appreciate what he's given them, and then they're demanding more. Oh, we don't do that, do we? Oh, yes, we do. Oh, how we do it. Where so often we're saying, God, do something for me. God, do some wonder. Do something big in my life. God, help me somehow. Give me something. And we don't even realize all that he's already given us. In fact, most time, if we were just to stop and think slowly and realistically, we would see he is giving us something even in the moment. But we're consuming it so rapidly and so thoughtlessly, we don't even realize it. We don't even get it. That's a special kind of selfishness that we humans have. But also, Jesus is reminding us that the deeper problem is that we don't have a sight or a clear understanding of where the good things in our lives are coming from in the first place. We think a lot of times we get a better job. Well, we must be somebody. Or we make a great grade on a test and we pat ourselves on the back because we studied hard. Or we end up with someone who's just perfect for us and we think, boy, I'm lucky. Or maybe we think arrogantly, yeah, I must be something. But what we fail to realize that even if we work hard for it, even if we make sacrifices for it, The Bible's pretty clear. Every good gift is from above. If you have anything good in your life, number one, see it. Recognize it. Acknowledge it. Number two, acknowledge where it comes from. Where did the bread come from? Not Moses, but Christ. That's a big difference. And then Jesus demands something from us. The title of the sermon is Demanding Bread. It's a play. On the one hand, the people, the followers, are demanding bread from Jesus. But on the other hand, Jesus is a demanding kind of bread, isn't he? He's the kind of bread that makes demands on our lives. And he's demanding that we acknowledge he is the bread maker. That he is the one come down from heaven. And not only that, in this ego of me, this I am statement, he's demanding that we acknowledge he is divinity. He is that second person of the Trinity. And our satisfaction in life begins with that, doesn't it? I mean, if you can't believe in Jesus, if you don't have Christ, if you're not consuming that bread, you're never going to be satisfied, are you? Never. I think that we all have these moments where we're frustrated with the world and the way things are, and we look around and we think we just need something more. Or we look at our life and we're not happy with either our career or the way things are going in our family, or maybe we just look at the world news and we sigh a great and horrible woe is me, and we don't realize that yes, there's some bad things going on in our lives and in other people's lives and in this entire world there's some bad things going on, but that cannot and never can take away from the reality God is good. And God gives life. And in this world, yes, there might be death and destruction, but God's got a bigger picture in mind. And he's working things out towards that ultimate good. And at the end of the day, this is another reality that we have a hard time accepting. If God never did anything for you, if God never answered a single prayer, if God never gave you another good gift, if all he had ever done was just give you Jesus, guess what? We've got more than we deserve. That's more than we ever deserved. So if you could try to boil this whole sermon down into three sentences, I guess the take-home fortune cookie version of the sermon would be, number one, be happy with the bread you got. Number two, know where the bread comes from in the first place. And three, keep your eyes on the bread maker. You know, Clive, every time he turned his eyes away from his wife, he forgot she was there. I think we kind of do the same thing with God, don't we? But if we could just keep our eyes on him, if we could just stay focused on his presence in our lives, I think we'd all be a lot happier. We definitely have fullness of joy. Would you pray with me? Lord, you are the bread maker who sent down the bread of life, Jesus, your Son, the source of all good things. Help us now and always to be focused on him in our lives so that we might be, as they say, satisfied with Jesus. For he is more than enough. In his name we pray. Amen. We invite you this morning to respond to God's word and God's challenge as we sing, Guide Me, Thou Great Jehovah, number 56. If you're able, would you stand as we respond? Receive this blessing as we go. Bread for you in the morning, bread for you at noon, bread in the evening. May the bread of life be with you and sustain you and give you life every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I don't know if you do your hair.
Yes.